Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. And it is a short but a powerful verse. But the one who endures to the end. Somebody say, you've got to finish your race. The one who endures to the end will be saved. We are talking in our series on endurance, and we've got this week and next week. Turn to your neighbor and tell him everybody doesn't win a trophy. You may be seated. Everybody doesn't win a trophy. Only the ones who endure to the end. That is what we must do. And the promise is those people will be saved. Remember this, that any assignment God calls you to, there is a promise at the end of that assignment. There is purpose within the assignment, but there is a promise at the end of the assignment. I know we have some first-time guests, and so I'll catch everybody up from our last couple sessions in the first couple moments here. Endurance is what separates the starters from the finishers. There's a lot of people that can start. And we've been told all of our life, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But you will never finish if you don't start. And you will never finish if you don't have the quality of endurance and or perseverance. If we are going to be like Jesus, which is what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be Christians. We are supposed to be Christ-like. We are supposed to be disciples, disciplined followers of Jesus Christ. To do that, we must be like Jesus, and we must become finishers. It was on the cross, John chapter 19, verse 30, that Jesus said three words that would forever change the course of humanity and human history when he said, "It is finished." You say, what is it? It's whatever you need it to be. It is finished. Deliverance has already been paid for. Health and healing has already been paid for. I'll give you a good reason to shout. Your salvation has already been paid for. I know there's some people out there that would like to tell you you have to knock on a certain amount of doors and you've got to work your way into heaven, but you are not saved by works. You are saved by faith, through faith, by grace in Jesus' name. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible starts with the phrase, "In the beginning." Revelation 22, 21, the entire Bible ends with one four-letter word, amen. Why? Because God is a finisher. We as believers must break the cycle of starting, stopping, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Maybe we're talking about our diet, start, stop, eating right, start, stop, working out, start, stop, relationships, start, stop, marriage, start, stop, job, start, stop. We got to break that cycle. We must adopt the mentality that no matter what I'm going through, I am going to finish my assignment. And remember always, you don't quit an assignment, church. You finish the assignment. Last session, we talked about faith, hope, and love, and that the greatest is love. That we need faith to have a relationship with Jesus. That Jesus is our anchor of hope, but Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that the greatest out of faith, hope, and love is love. Why? Because faith and hope are what you need to have a relationship with God, but love is God. So enduring faith, not just a measure of faith, but enduring faith. Enduring hope, not just hope for a season, not just hope's starter kit, but you hope against hope like Abraham in Romans 4. And then enduring love, not newlyweds, not dating, but the mature marriage, meaning we've been through some stuff and we're still together. And all the married folks say amen. Now to jump into some new material. Tommy Barnett, one of the greatest pastors in our nation, has pastored and built three incredible churches, one in Iowa, I believe Des Moines, Iowa, another one in Phoenix, Arizona, and then the great Dream Center in LA, stood on this very platform almost 17 years ago, exactly where I'm standing today. And he said someone asked him, "Pastor Tommy," which is one of the greatest faith generals of our generation, "have you ever felt like quitting?" And I sat over there and I heard something that was said that it affected me even to where 17 years later, I think about it almost every day. They said, "Pastor Tommy, have you ever felt like quitting?" And his response was, every single day I feel like quitting. He said, the only thing is I never give in to that feeling. Can I encourage you with this, church? It's okay to want to quit, just don't quit. It's okay to get that feeling of fatigue that I don't know if I can make it through. Just keep going. Just keep pressing on in Jesus' name. There are so many times where it would be easy to step out on your marriage. It would be easy to quit your job. It would be easy to quit serving God and to quit pressing and pushing in. But I want to tell you, do not give in to the feeling of quit. The same God that started it is the same God in the middle, and he is the same God, and he is a big enough God to finish what he has started. The Bible says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. But a lot of times we get the feeling of quit, and I want to encourage you, church, with some practical advice. Never make decisions based on feelings. Feelings are emotions. Aren't you glad you didn't marry the first person you had feelings for? Can we just get a 20-second praise break right there? Hallelujah. Can we get a 5-second praise break for all the unanswered prayers that we prayed when we were emotional, when we were up in our feelings? Can I encourage you, never make decisions based on feelings. Always make them based on faith in God's word. There are far too many people making permanent decisions based on temporary feelings and emotions. And I am here to tell you, if you've got a big decision to make, pray about it and sleep on it. Don't sleep with it, sleep on it. A lot of us make decisions based on emotion. In about 15 or 20 minutes, this altar will be filled with people that are making, I believe, in our prayer, our team prays every week is, God, Lord, people are about to make forever decisions. And we know that that is happening in this altar, but there will be a few people that get caught up in the emotion of what's going on in this building. And us Pentecostals, and that's our roots. We are an emotional people. It's why people were raising their hands and their voices during worship. It's why Brother Eric Wellington ran across, dancing across the front of this room. You say that's too much? No, it's somebody who feels the spirit inside of them, and they get emotional. But I'm here to tell you, if you were to talk to Eric tomorrow afternoon, he's going to meet you with that same energy, that same praise, and that same worship. I've known him for years, but I want to encourage people, don't get caught up in the emotions that they played my favorite worship song, or I really loved that point, and walk an altar and make a decision that is rooted in emotions and not on revelation. Be sure that whatever you promise in this altar, you can walk out Monday through Saturday. I'm talking to somebody in the room or online today that you've been letting emotions rule your life, and the guy holding the microphone is an emotional person. I am an emotion. It is part of me that is the best part, but it's also part of me that is the worst part. It is my emotions, but I want to encourage you today and let you know that your emotions can be a blessing or a burden. Don't ever let them become a burden, but every decision you make, make it in faith, pray about it, and sleep on it. Never underestimate the power of a nap. Never underestimate, I don't like what I'm going through, and I wish I could quit, but let me get 20 minutes and hit the reset button. Let me pray about it and go to sleep, and when I wake up tomorrow morning at 6:30, I believe I'm going to see things with a heavenly perspective. I believe that God's spirit is going to work on those issues while I am sleeping. Never make an emotional decision. When I first wrote these notes, I wrote these next points with the phrase, if we endure. And then I had a lot of things that if we endure happens. And I asked Mandy, I said, do you like if we endure, or do you like the phrase when we endure? She said, when we endure is better than if we endure. It's a lot better. And so that's all I asked her. She said, oh, when is a lot better, because if you're leaving it up to speculation. if you're going to make it, if you're not going to quit, if you're going to continue on, if you're going to keep on, if you're going to keep focused. She said, let's take that out. And I left, I went back to my office, and God really began to pour into me, because if is a question. See, you got to quit making your tomorrow a question. You've got to take the hump out of the question mark and make it an exclamation point. That not if I endure, but when I endure. Not if I make it through, but because I have Jesus, when I make it through. Not if I overcome this sickness, when I overcome this sickness. Not if I ever have enough money to get out of debt, when I get out of debt. Not if my kids are ever going to love Jesus, but when. If and when. It changes the whole complexity of what we say. If versus when. If is a question, but when is a declaration. It is a foregone conclusion, when. So there's some wins that I'd love to tell you about today, and I want you to write notes if you're a note taker. When we endure, the Bible says we will reap a harvest. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to talk to somebody who is in that weary season of your life. Do not stop what you're doing. Let me tell you something. The more tired you are, the greatest sacrifice that you give. Let me say that again. Some of us, we came in here and we've had the best week of our life and we're praising God. I want to tell you that praise is valuable, but I want to talk about the person that's had a hellacious week that still came in here praising and worshiping God. There is some value. That's what the Bible calls a sacrifice of praise. You might be in the weary season of life, but I want to tell you, don't stop. Don't change the channel. Don't turn off God. Why? Because God is working even when we don't hear Him or see Him or feel Him. I am here to tell you, keep sowing, keep planting, keep watering, keep fertilizing. There's a harvest. A harvest means you're about to get back more than you put in. If you endure, if you don't stop, if you don't quit. I love this next phrase. The soil doesn't care how you feel. The soil doesn't care what kind of week you've had. The soil doesn't care that this person is gossiping and criticizing you. The soil doesn't care all about any about that. The soil responds to two things, work and rain. I thought I'd get a better amen. That's why I paused there. It says, wait for applause to die down in my notes. No, it doesn't say that. You know why I got quiet? Because I said the worst four-letter word you can say in church. Work. The soil doesn't care about my feelings. The soil doesn't look in my bank account. Oh, this is going to be a hurtful one. The soil doesn't care the color of my skin. Soil doesn't care how old I am or what gender I am. The soil knows one thing, that when the soil is worked and rain happens, the soil must give up what has been put in the soil. I'm talking to somebody today that you planted some seeds in 2020 and you thought COVID took them out. Those seeds are still in the ground, church. Keep working, keep praying, keep fertilizing, keep weeding, keep all of those things. Why? Because that seed is in the ground, and if you'll begin to work that ground, God is going to send the rain. The Bible says this, it had never rained in Genesis because there was no man to work the ground. Can I encourage you? You're waiting on rain, God is waiting on work, and the soil is waiting on both. And when you begin to work, God will begin to rain. When you begin to work, God will begin to rain. When you put your hand to the plow, clouds start forming. When you put that seed in the ground, clouds start forming. When you show up and it's 100 degrees in May, listen, we're in for a long, hot summer, but I do know this, God's gonna take care of His own. It can get dry in Texas, but amen, I've got a God that will put a cloud right over my family, right over my life. Gas can be $6 a gallon, and we're gonna keep driving, keep working, keep kingdom, keep pushing forward God's agenda. Why? Because
because we endure through the weary seasons of our life, because we're not concerned about how we feel. We're standing on the promise of God that he said, if you put it in the ground and work it, I'm going to cause it to rain and bring a harvest. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, work hard and reap big. Tell him again, work hard and reap big. Here's the second one. When we endure, we develop great character. Character is a word that is lost on a lot of people in this generation. They don't know what it means, and if you don't know what it means, you probably have none. I want you to be people of great character. I need to be a man of great character. What does that mean? That it's not my reputation that matters. It is my integrity. It is my character. It is that we are the same behind closed doors as we are out in the open. I am here to tell you, character. Listen, the Bible says that your gift will make room for you, but I believe character is what will keep you in that room in front of important people. Romans 5 verse 3 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Why do we glory in our sufferings? Because we don't learn anything when we're fat and happy. Nobody can tell us nothing. Come on, I've raised a 14, 15-year-old boy. It's amazing at 14 or 15, you think you know more than everybody else. At 18, you think you know more than the entire world. At 21, it dawns on you, you don't know as much as you thought. When you have your first child, you find out that you don't know much. And then when you're 40 years of age, you find out, I don't know anything, and I better start learning. Woo! See how I fixed that? I started with the 14s, and I ended all the way up at 40. We don't learn nothing during the good times. Here's something unpopular that I've never said in church before. The church doesn't do good in times of great economy. Doesn't do good when the stock market's surging. You know when Living Way has done the best? During recessions. Why? God doesn't send recessions, but he has our attention. Because where we were just playing and having fun, now we're spending some time praying about, God, I really need you over here. God, I cannot do it without. Isn't it amazing how 3 months ago, we had all the formula we needed. And everything changes. Isn't it amazing that 2 or 3 years ago, I could fill my diesel truck up for $65 and now it costs me $180. Isn't that amazing? But it is in the suffering of believers that we develop character, because we find out who you really are and who we really are. Can I encourage you today to develop some character through the suffering? Because we know that the suffering, the Bible says, produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. If you're taking notes, write this down. There are two times when we see the real you. There are only two times when the real you shows up. When you have everything and when you have nothing. I'm going to say it again. We see the real you when you win the lottery and you have $5 million and you don't need anybody anymore. You start acting out. Some of us live right because we don't have enough money to act crazy. Oh, it's getting quiet. When we have everything, we just do whatever we want to do. But when we have nothing, we also see the real why, because you'll do whatever it takes to get the job done. You'll make sure that even if you don't have it, I will do what it takes. But it's in that middle ground where we go through some faux faith, faux praise, faux worship. Every few months, we'll see people hit these back doors that we haven't seen for 6 months. And guess when we see them? When they're at their lowest. But when things start picking back up, they disappear until they hit rock bottom. I want to encourage you that your character does not look at your bank account. Your character does not look at the sun or the moon or the night seasons or the light seasons. Your character does not look at the valleys or the mountaintops. I am the same whether I sit with presidents or whether I sit with paupers. I am the same whether it is with children or adults. I am the same on a platform as I am in a private office. I am the same on my lunch break as I am in the aisle. Why? Because I've been through some stuff. The suffering I've been through has drawn me closer to Jesus. It has produced perseverance, and that perseverance has produced a different person. What you've been through has created a new you. Your testimony has created a new you. You're different than you used to be. Most people stop on one end of the spectrum, nothing. They stop. They don't endure because there's no reason to continue. Oh, there's a reason to continue. Let me just give you a couple off the top of my head, and these aren't in my notes. You say, there's no reason for me to continue. I have nothing. I am nothing. I'm doing nothing. Let me tell you something. If you're still breathing today, God's plan is still in effect for your life. You might be in the pig pen, but the Father's house has a bedroom, a bed, a fatted calf, a ring, and a robe with your name on it. If you're breathing, God's plan, His promises, His purpose is still in effect. But can I just encourage you, if you're married, there's a reason to keep going. Your spouse is connected to you. If you have children, there's a reason to keep going. Why? Not only to provide for them, but also to create an example that I've been through some hell, but I don't stop. Why? Because greater is the Jesus that is in me than he that is in the world. So we stop when we have nothing many times, and a lot of times we stop when we have everything. We take our foot off the gas. Because especially in the Western world and in the great United States, when we get any kind of fame or fortune, we dip into the I have arrived mentality. Can I speak to those of you that think that you have arrived? There is still more living left to do. There is still more mountains to possess. There is still more purpose to walk out. And I have never arrived. I'm just better than I used to be. I'm like Paul. I am not everything I should be, but thanks be to God, I am not like I used to be. But this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me, and I press forward to the things which are ahead of me. If you are alive and you are still breathing oxygen through your lungs, there is something ahead of you, and I need you to not stop where you are. I need you to not just say, well, God has brought me, I need somebody to say, I don't care how far I've come, there's still some ways to go, and I'm taking as many people as I can with me. That's what character produces. Character. People of high character, no matter what. I'll give you one more today as the praise team comes. When we endure, we develop confidence. I learned a new word today. I think it was Gina. She put Godfidence. That's a t-shirt. You need to make it. It's on its way, I'm sure. Confidence versus arrogance. A lot of you have heard me preach this before. Some of you are new. Some of you are watching today. Arrogance says, look at me. Confidence says, look at God. Arrogance says, look at what I can do. Confidence says, look at what God has done through me and in me. You realize that if it wasn't for God, you couldn't have sat up in your bed this morning. You wouldn't have been able to tie your shoes. Forget that. You couldn't have put on Velcro shoes if it wasn't for Jesus. God has done it all. Anything good you see in me, I love Mandy, but it wasn't my wife. It wasn't my parents. As good as Bishop and Pastor Becky are, it wasn't them. As great as Living Way's been to me the last 40 years, it wasn't that. It is because of God. And so anytime someone says, man, you've been really successful, I reflect and I deflect. Oh, that's the God in me. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have anything. I wouldn't be doing anything. But let me tell you about how God delivered me. Let me tell you about how God healed me. Let me tell you about how God saved me. Let me tell you that because of God, I am who I am. There is a Godfidence or a confidence that comes with enduring. We develop confidence that we are not alone. I'm almost done here, but I want to share this. Deuteronomy 31:8. When you read the Word of God, and you see all that God is doing in the nation of Israel, whether it is in Joshua chapter 1, where I believe it says it three times, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 is where we're going to lift it today. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That verse right there should become a part of your memorized declaration. Because there is no contingency here. There is no God will be with you if this, this, and this. You know, the sinner can call on the name of Jesus and boom, it changes their life. Why? Because he's there. You say, well, if he's with the sinner, why does the sinner go through? Because he's there, but it doesn't mean that he's working and he's doing things for the sinner. He's there for when the sinner finally says, I can't do it by myself and I'm through trying to, but I want that confidence in God. It says the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. I love God because he's the only entity ever in all of human history that can be in two places at one time. God is already in Monday, May 23rd. He's sitting at your desk, standing in your cubicle, standing at your cash register, standing at your teller window. He's already in the hospital that you're going to have to go visit someone in this week. He's already in the courtroom where a decision is going to be levied against a loved one. I love that we are the only worshipers of any God. Our God is the big G God. He is Jehovah God of the Old Testament and Jesus of the New Testament. But I am so excited because my God stands with me, but he's also before me.